Welcome to Beyond Rent, the property management podcast brought to you by Rent Manager. Each episode, we sit down with an expert to talk industry updates, tech solutions, and top tips for those in the property management space. And now, let's get to the conversation and go Beyond Rent.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Beyond Rent. Marketing a property is more than just posting online. It's about building a brand that extends beyond the building. And when done right, it can be the key to finding the right residents and creating the right experience. To help us learn more about building a brand at a property, we have Lynette with Brookwood Properties joining us today. Lynette, Hi. Welcome to Beyond Rent.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. This is going to be a lot of fun. We were just discussing that we haven't really done a lot of episodes that look and feel like this as far as the brand at a property. So I'm really excited to dig in, learn more about your experience doing that with Brookwood. But before we jump into the conversation, let's get to learn you and your history a little bit more. So go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
Hi, I am Lynette Morgan. I am a leasing agent for a downtown property called 1010 on the Rhine. It sits in downtown Cincinnati in between the Central Business District and OTR. So I'm very much where all of the happenings are in Cincinnati. And I also do leasing at a couple other properties that Brookwood has, Crane Factory Flats and The Rye. I got my start in real estate when I was a property manager in college for a summer, you know, trying to make money in DC when your internship's unpaid. And when I graduated, I realized that's where I wanted to be. It's not where I started. I was a history major, and I thought I wanted to work for, you know, the Department of Justice. And we took a really sharp left turn into something I think is a lot better and would even say more fulfilling, especially when it comes to residents.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thanks for sharing that background. It is very interesting, and I'm really fortunate. I get to talk to people about how they get started in property management. We all take different roads. Some people know people, other people like yourself are really just looking for a job. And then they find themselves in this industry that they truly love, and they can't think of doing anything else. And it sounds like that's your story.
It definitely is. And as I transitioned from, you know, commercial real estate into residential, I realized how much, you know, working with people, like how happy it makes me and how much it energizes me. And so then I definitely am happy and this is where I want to stay.
I say all the time that we are really fortunate to work in an industry where we're helping people with something that's so foundational, right? Where you live is so important to your life. We're fortunate. And I think you are a good representative of that feeling, right? You feel fulfilled when you know you help people with their housing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. There's like, you know, I joke with residents when they ask me, like, if I like what I do, that, you know, some days I feel like I'm on HGTV and we're walking through properties and we're showing it. And I said, and then on other days, I'm creating this like memory for you in this building, like at Christmas time when we're doing trivia or just a bright spot in your day. And that for me is incredible.
Yeah, we really have, like I said, a really fortunate position to be involved in that, especially when somebody is on site like you are. And maybe that's where we kind of pivot and jump into the topic here, because what I didn't realize through some of our conversation is how much a property really can have a personality, right? So I guess I want to start the conversation really understanding maybe a term that you have used by saying community identity. What does that mean in the world of multifamily, in the world of apartment buildings, for a community to have an identity?
I think it can mean different things for different properties, which I feel like can sound a little like I'm trying not to answer the question. But for like a downtown property, I think it can be a shared culture and lifestyle of the people living in the building. I also think that, you know, location plays a really big role in it. You know, if you're out in the suburbs, right? Location is very commercial. It's, you know, not a lot of local stuff versus like being downtown. You have like lots of local businesses that you're interacting with and community events. Like that really changes the identity, and you just have to be in touch with the location itself. But I also, it's how you engage with your residents. And I mean, your residents and your location will really inform the identity. I know in my building, you feel it. I feel it every day. I'm really lucky. I get to work in a couple different buildings, and every time I walk into one, like the feeling is so different. We were talking about on the tour, Rent Manager is a really cool office building if anyone is interested in it. But yes, that's definitely what I would say is the shared culture and lifestyle. And you just have to be able to listen to like hear what that is. And then hopefully, you know, you can get your staff on board and you yourself can kind of embody that a little bit. I got lucky, you know, my building is very vibrant and energetic and I happen to fit the bill when it comes to that. So it works well together. And I definitely think that the brand voice that the building has, like, you know, on social media, even when I'm giving tours, I'm talking to residents, doing events, it does tend to match my own. I think that can be really important. Just making sure your staff kind of matches the overall vibe, if you will, of the place you're at.
That is really interesting to think about a few things that you just said there. One is the listening component. So you said that a few times. You really have to be listening. So you're down there, you're at your property, and this property is relatively new as well.
Yes,
right?
It was built in 2019.
Yeah, so we're talking a relatively new property. How do you listen to the property? How do you listen to that identity that it's telling you that it has?
Well, my office is right next to the coffee machine, so I get to hear a lot whether I want to or not. I tend to be direct and ask residents. I really pride myself on having like relationships with a lot of the residents and kind of knowing what's going on in their lives. If you're a property manager, property management company, have something that's close to your leasing office where residents want to go. It allows your staff to actually build the relationship if that's something that you want. That has been a big benefit to me. You know, our printer's right there. A lot of the resources they need are right there. I'm able to interact with them every day. But yeah, I point blank ask them, what is your favorite thing about the building? Like, what's your favorite thing about living here? And I kind of took notes of that. You know, a lot of it would be, you know, the views. We have some great views. A lot of it was like the location. I love the location. I'm close to everything that I want to do. And with, you know, this being a luxury building, and I had joked that, you know, our residents are all type A and energetic. That's what it comes down to, like what they want. They like, I want everything to be efficient. I want everything to be easy and I want to be close to everything. I want to be where it's happening because that's who I am as a person. So you start to pick up on that. And then I'm like, okay, well then like this, like shared culture of this building is actually what's outside of it, which is OTR in Cincinnati. Like it's everything that you can do. I mean, the building is inspired by the joys of life, right? Well, all the things that you enjoy are outside. And I think when you're in the units, like it even like forces your view towards the windows. And I think it just, whoever originally did the marketing for that was so smart because it informs how I do the leasing. And I think it really fits our residents well too.
And where I kind of go with this idea is that there might be some challenges there. Cause you talked about like whoever designed the building and did the marketing initially, you walked into an existing building and it in some ways already had the identity. And I think that's what you're trying to say is that there are some things that are informed through culture and through the residents, but the building, the structure was there, right? They built an apartment building in this downtown area. You didn't get to choose the materials, the colors, the things like that. How does that play into it? I guess the actual like architecture of the building.
The architecture of our building, so you'll see clean lines, right? We have our lovely millennial gray in some of the units. And then there's like this industrial feel, like the structure, like the supporting like columns and everything, the columns that like go through the building, like you see them, they're exposed. And then even with the like linoleum tiles that they did, they look like concrete, but they're not. So makes your step softer, but it looks like it. So it feels very industrial and like you're in a city. And then the other properties, they were actually like old factories too. And they kept that. They kept that historic identity in Cincinnati, and which I think is really cool because it's like, I'm proud of my city and I'm proud of where I'm at. And I think that's really neat. But I would say that while this building kind of came with its own like identity, I would say it wasn't really being recognized and everything. I mean, a lot of people don't know this building is above the OTR Kroger. They don't know that it's apartments up there. And whenever I tell people where I work, they're like, oh, I didn't know there were apartments up there, which means that like we're not, you know, getting that out enough and we need to create that brand recognition. And so while the identity was there, I don't think it had been like discovered and like pulled out all the way just yet. And it wasn't being reflected upon like for the residents like every day.
Yeah, that's really interesting because an apartment community that is out maybe in more of a suburban area, it's very obvious what it is when you drive by it, right? In a downtown setting, my assumption is people were looking at that area and thinking, oh, that's probably offices or something along those lines.
Oh, yes. It's right across from corporate Kroger. So people will also like assume it's an extension of that as well. And, you know, it's amongst the high rises, like Central Business District is right to the right there. So yeah, people don't know. And I always joke that we need somebody just that just stands outside and is like, this is apartments. but I am trying to create that like with our social media. I'm learning. So it's definitely a goal for, you know, most people in Cincinnati to know that those are in fact apartments and to be like, that's Tintin on the Rhine.
Well, and it is a beautiful property. It is a newer property. Like I said, it's a luxury apartment community there. And from the location to the architecture and the way they designed it, you said the clean lines, the millennial gray, all of those elements, how much of that ends up determining who your renters are? Meaning, are people seeking that look and feel kind of fall into a certain demographic? Or is it the other way around that the demographic starts to inform the identity? Or do they meet in the middle somewhere? How does that take shape with a new property?
I think they meet in the middle. And that would probably, I'd say that probably because I wasn't there during the original lease up. I think that would really, if I knew more about that, that would have really like been able to answer your question. But for me now, a lot of it is professionals, and a lot of them hear about the building from the people they work with, right? So then I would say, you know, it's my residents that are almost determining the other residents. But when, of course, I get a lot of people from out of town that are relocating to Cincinnati, if I were to say who most of the residents are, I would say they're sort of like Cincinnati, you know, transplants, people from other places that are coming to Cincinnati. And like, that's their introduction to the city. And I would say when they're looking, when they're there, you know, it's the same things that they comment on. They like the view and they want it to be as efficient, as easy as possible. I mean, these are people who like love efficiency. We have, you know, lots of people from, you know, bigger companies in Cincinnati, like Procter & Gamble and Kroger. You know, these are brilliant people, very professional that want there, and they want things the way that they want it. And I think that's like what the building gives you. You know, you work hard and then after work you come home and everything's simple. You just get to look outside and then you get to go be outside and explore any restaurant that you want to go to, any bar, any activity that you want to partake in, whether it be sports or candle making is right outside your door.
I think I've been to that candle making place myself, actually. But you're right. There is a lot of things in close proximity.
Yes.
Walking distance to your property. And let's just contrast that with, you know, something that is more suburban where you're driving everywhere you go, right?
Yes.
If it is 30 minutes from work or whatever, it's not even a concern because that's kind of the lifestyle that these people are choosing to be further out from the city. So
Yes. That
makes a lot of sense to me. Now, you had kind of mentioned about the whole marketing side, and I think maybe we'll kind of move into that idea and that topic at this point. How do you start to take what you see as the identity of the property, as the general identity of the renter that's there, right? You have kind of a ideal customer, ideal renter that you're looking for. And how do you start to translate that into actual marketing efforts, right? Because that's really hard to do, to show the complexity of what we've talked about in an ad or an Instagram post. Like that's not easy.
Yeah. So that actually has been difficult, and I'm still learning too. Like I'm actually actively taking classes and getting different certifications like as we speak. So it's, I am humbled all the time. So it's great. And I think it helps me bring more energy to it as well. But for me, it's like, okay, we're going to like stick to one thing, and it's vibrancy. We're using like the building when I'm there, it just screams vibrancy to me, the colors, the people, the city. And so I kind of stuck with that and was like, this is what I'm going to like focus on. This is sort of the feedback I'm getting from tours, right? I'm on tours. I hear what people think about the building all the time. And then my residents and what they want to see. I ask them, what events do you want? I'll have them send me ideas. I'll be like, tell me what you want and I'm going to try to give it to you. And I want to know in creating that trust and everything. But sorry, going back to putting that into marketing efforts. So there's different types of marketing, right? So we're always marketing. It's like sales, always be closing. For our events that we have, like that is marketing. Some of our events I've allowed residents to bring outside guests to. And then also, are the events that we're having, are they relating back to this brand and this voice and this identity that we're trying to create? So, you know, with Vibrancy, the events that we're doing, we did a wellness week. So, you know, it's a luxury building. So on Mondays they got free massages, and then we had financial advisor come in, to help people, you know, kind of get started. We had fitness classes, we had a meditation session, and we had a tech free day with lots of new games that we bought for the building and everything to make the community space more, you know, interactive and enjoyable. And we wanted people to, I think they're all really cool of our residents, and I wanted them to discover how cool they are with each other. So I think the events, you know, that's one way, right? And then we open up some of those events to other people, their friends that are, you know, just down the street. We'll come here, come hang out, see how fun it is, and see how like exciting and just colorful and vibrant your life can be. That's one way. And then when we're talking, we're going into social media, right? So that's, I feel like you're living your day, like you're kind of marketing it in that way. I grew up in a small town. I'm a big community girl, and like coming to Cincinnati, that's actually why I love Cincinnati so much over like New York and DC, where I also lived, is I like that it still has a community. It's still small. A lot of people know each other. I find connections every day. And I think that's like one of the greatest things about the building is its location and the community. And so I am at the beginning, and I'm trying to do even more to, you know, reflect back on the community. Look at this community that you can be a part of. I started a little series on Instagram. It's called 10 Minutes from 1010. They're coffee shop walks. Look at all these businesses and things you can go to that are 10 minutes with 1010. And I hope that it is helpful to people who come do tours. I show them Instagram. I'm like, hey, if you want to get coffee, there you go. I hope it's helpful to residents who don't know the city and maybe don't know anyone. They can go out and, you know, and start to like explore things, and maybe it gives them some confidence. Like, oh, I kind of know where this is. I know that building that you walk by. But also it's shining light on the great businesses that we have around us as well, which I think is really important. I think that's maybe something that isn't thought about a lot when it comes to property management. Like, your community helps you have wonderful tenants and a really good experience. Shine the light on them too. You know, it's cyclical, and that's where I'm trying to go with it. I'm planned the next one to be like lunch spots. Not to mention, when I do go to these places and record, I'm asking for permission, but I'm also buying the things from there, like myself. Like, I make sure that I eat lunch there. I experiencing it. The coffee shops I post, I go to them on a regular basis. And I tell my residents too. I'm like, hey, go here. Like, I always say, go outside and go live your life and like go have fun. And so I think I'm trying to like show that in the social media. And then, you know, mixing in your normal posts of like, look at the units we have available, look at our specials. And then also trying to like show the events that we have for our residents, even if it's small. For Valentine's Day, we did donuts and everything. We got them from a local coffee shop. We told our residents to come down. I just like want to create those moments for them, you know, where they're like, I'm so happy I live here. They care about me, because we do, you know, and sometimes it can be hard to show that. So, you know, we show those as well on the Instagram. And then I have I regularly post every week. I look at all the events that are going around Cincinnati and I post them up. Any new restaurant I have like on the highlights part of our Instagram, I'm like posting them up because I want them to get involved. I want them to know, I want our residents to know what's going on. So I would say part of that is I've kind of slowly become, I'm becoming like an expert in Cincinnati and like coffee shops and like where to go to eat and where to go do things, like a built-in concierge. And I want the Instagram to kind of feel like that too. And I want it to be useful for people who are trying to figure out where do I want to live, and then useful for the residents themselves. And maybe even if you don't choose to live there, you still, you know, use it, still has some use to you. Just try to create value in different ways to show our appreciation for our community and for our residents.
Yeah. I really love what you're doing with all that, because I think it's really, really hard in the world of social media for property managers, because I think our natural instinct is just to post about the property. These are units. This is maybe even the events, right? But you could think very internal, right? Inside your kind of four walls on what you promote. And the reality is the only person that would really benefit from that is somebody that's actively looking for somewhere to rent. And the likelihood of them finding you on Instagram isn't really good, right? It's just not super high.
Certainly is not.
It's really challenging. So instead, you've created this world where even if I'm not looking for an apartment and even if I'm not a resident, I still may follow that account because you're posting things that are just relevant to anyone that cares about the community at large, right? If you like coffee, if you like to eat, I mean, if you don't like one of those two things, you're probably not human, right? Right? Yeah. So like you're posting content that anyone would enjoy. And then sprinkled in there is the fact that, yeah, you do have these great apartments. You do have these great events. And then not only that, but the current resident has ongoing value with that account. It's not like they found you on Instagram, they rented, and then they unfollow because there's nothing more for them there. You're providing ongoing value.
Yeah. And I definitely think that's like what I'm trying to do. And I try to do that like in everything that I do. Cause if I'm not creating value, what am I doing? Sort of, I see a lot of accounts where they just like post floor plans. They just post like floor plans. And so you look at a couple and you get off. I try to make it eye catching. And like, I think the Tintin Instagram is a lot more colorful than other places' Instagrams. Which
it's vibrant, right?
Yeah, it's vibrant. It's definitely a risk, I think, that I am taking by doing that. But I took only the colors from the building. I actually color matched them, which is a little silly maybe. But I want when you like look at the Instagram and you like show up to the building, you're like, this is the same thing. And I want to, as a resident, to continue that experience for you on social media.
It's almost like truth in advertising in many ways, right? That what you're showing through your social media is actually what they get when they show up. And we know how advertising and marketing works. We don't always feel like that's true, right?
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back to what you said earlier, that the language that you're using, the vibrant terms, all of these things, they all fit. So when someone is having a tour, they look and feel like they fit and that it fits into the marketing. And then once they're a resident, it continues beyond the lease, right?
Yes.
That they're having that same experience.
Yeah. And I have like a unique, because I'm not just doing marketing, right? I am doing the leasing. I am the person that helps organize the events and comes up with them a lot of the time. I think it's important because it does like inform what I do with the marketing, but it also, I think, helps me to like provide like a good experience for them. And I kind of can, where I think it would be hard for certain properties, I can sort of control, you know, from end to end, like how the marketing is continuing, like in the building. Cause like, you know, we can enforce it with staff. Well, I am the staff. So I think that kind of helps too, where I think that could be maybe something that's a little more challenging. You know, if you have a large property and a large staff, of how to sort of have them, you know, show that brand and carry on that tone and voice. It's much easier when it's, you know, it's four of us. The staff is just four people. Mm-hmm. And we're all very, you know, happy, like outgoing, like bubbly people. Makes it very easy to, you know, be vibrant.
Be vibrant. Well, and I think that is really important when you think about this. And maybe this is kind of maybe the direction we kind of go with the next portion of our conversation is, how do you really make this happen at other properties and how maybe other properties vary in the strategy? And what I mean by that is if it is a larger staff, you really need everyone contributing to that image, to that identity, to the marketing, even if they're not the ones doing it, I'd imagine you'd advocate that they need to have a voice in that process.
Yes, I would. And this is, you said that, and the first thing I thought of was Chick-fil-A and how, and how, you know, their social media works. It's a little bit on the goofier side, but even the people, when they take your order, they have certain phrases. They're very helpful. I mean, it's there. And with staff, like, we try to get them to participate in events. So like, residents get to know them. I would recommend that. I think that can work. And you're not, you know, trying to force them to be anything other than themselves, which you want them to bring themselves to work and show up in those moments. But yeah, I think the phrasing can help, which can seem a little silly, but I do think it has an impact, because I mean, I could think of a couple of things that like Chick-fil-A and Cane's say, like I could just say them, like Cane's bibbidi bobbidi boo, what can I do for you? Like, is it in my brain? And I think that helps. I know we always tell our staff, like, you see somebody, say something, say hello. Do you know what I'm saying? Say hi. They're both very talkative. And so, you know, they get to know different residents and they'll know things about their lives. So we also have a lot of pets in our building. Makes it pretty easy to do so. There's lots of cute animals. We all interact and, you know, we have our favorite little fur babies that are in the building. But I think, yeah, I think that can be tough with a larger staff, and it is hard for me to speak to it all the way. It's sort of exciting for me to talk about it. It's the first time I'm thinking about it. Like, how did you do this with a large staff? And I mean, I think uniforms helps. And I think making sure your staff like works well together and is happy, I think that helps a lot. And I think for us, like, it's going to be leadership. My property manager, Kiara DeCastro, is such a good balance of being like vibrant and happy, and also being the most calm, like level-headed person I've ever met. And she leads by example and sort of like setting the tone for the property and setting the, you know, vibrational feel. Like, she comes in and you could, I don't know, have had a bad morning, or in my case, forgot your keys and your purse and everything in your house five times and had to go back in. And so you just barely made it to work in the nick of time. And she, her energy that she brings immediately like resets the situation for me when I walk in. And she's very good about leading the staff and just reminding all of us of like how we need to show up to work. And she always, she knows so much about the residents too. She used to do leasing, so she knows them so well that she helps introduce you to them. And we try to introduce them on social media too. It's going to be another post tomorrow for one of our staff's birthdays. I do very goofy fun facts because I want people to be, to see it and then be like, oh, this is what I can talk to them about. Our cleaning person, Heather, she does roller skating. Like, she used to kind of do it on a professional level. That's so cool. We'll put that out there. Talk to her about it. You know, she talks to other people. I want them to, it's staff, and we could say family, but it's a community. And I want that to be a part of the staff. I want you to know them. I want you to know things about them and vice versa.
No, it goes back to that idea of community and this idea that the staff is really part of that identity as well. And so if you have, again, we'll keep using the same word, a vibrant property, then your staff needs to be vibrant. It all needs to fit together. And I'm going to go back to this idea that these are their homes, right? The residents live there. They view this as their home. And while you're not maybe family, you are where they live. So mm-hmm. you are immediately part of their community. And if they don't feel comfortable with you, if they don't feel connected with you, that can be a real problem for how they view the property and how long they stay or how they talk about it or if they send referrals in. They want to be connected, right? You're a part of their lives.
Oh, yeah. And that can be sort of a challenge with our building, actually, because like I said earlier, a lot of them are transplants. Like, and it doesn't matter from where. It could be, you know, Kentucky, or it could be LA, or it could be another country and everything. And so a lot of them, when they arrive, are like fish out of water. And so I know we all try to, you know, get to know them. Hey, what do you like to do? Oh, you should go here. Do you need help meeting people? Like, we try, when you're a property manager or just staff, you should try to be an expert on the community where you work, because you can help your residents and like bring value in their to their day in that way. Like, maybe they don't need you to fix something or they don't need information from you. But what value can bring is being an expert, like on your community, knowing where things are, anything that they would need, maybe want to do. It lets you, helps you talk to them, build connections and build trust. It feeds back into your glorious community. It's very cyclical, but also it can help them get comfortable. Also stay, right? You want them to stay. You want retention. But it also just makes them happier. And then when they're happier, everyone's happier and the vibrancy goes up and then it feels just so vibrant and wonderful. But yeah, that is definitely like a challenge that we have. And my solution to that is like be an expert in your community and help them get like integrated into it as much as possible. What are common resident needs? Ours, a lot of them are out of state. They have to get new driver's license. So I now know so much about all the documents that you need to get your driver's license, anything that you can use, how long it takes to come. I have overnighted people like their federal IDs. If you don't have your federal ID and need to fly, you need to get that beforehand. yeah, be an expert on like things like in their area and like have them reach out to you. Because that brings them back to me. Lynette, I'm going on a date. Where should I take my date? Oh, you should take them here. Do you need me to make a see if there's a reservation available for you? Yes. Awesome. And then tell me how it went. And then they're coming back and you're like creating that relationship. And then also like you're helping them live their life.
Yeah. Well, and when there are challenging moments, if something does go wrong, a maintenance issue, whatever, I think they're going to be much more approachable with the issue, right? They're going to understand. They're like, well, Lynette had a great recommendation for dinner. I bet she can help me with this maintenance problem too, right? They know, like, and trust you.
Yeah. And I think they, and I hope it translates. I really do, because I do care. And so does all of our staff. I hope, think it helps, like, we're living, like, how much we care about them, that they know if, like, there is something, like, really, you know, goofy that happens with their garbage disposal, that they know I genuinely care and want that to be resolved as quickly as possible. And like, I am here for you and we're going to, you know, figure this out together. Like we're together in this because it's our community. I know I don't live here, but I do spend 40% of my life there. So I kind of do.
You need to be an expert in your community, right?
Yes.
So let me ask you a question. So we talked about kind of the staff element. What about the difference between different types of properties, right? You're downtown, more of a high-rise setting, luxury apartment. What if somebody has a different style property? Because they may say, well, it might be really easy to do all this fun stuff at a new property that has all of these amenities and has this tight community around it. What if somebody feels like they don't have that? Like, what would be your recommendation or your advice?
I would say that, you know, when you're rebranding, a lot of people, they just like change what they're posting on Instagram and the colors are different, or you know, they change their logo, like HBO Max and everything that they're doing with their logos. They keep changing that. And I'm like, actually, nothing is different. nothing has actually changed when you change. You just change your logo or change like what your Instagram feed looks like. You need to sort of, what I would say, I would start with like, what are the best things about my property, right? Like, what are the best things about the location of my property? What are the cool things that are around me? What do a lot of my residents do for a living? How does that kind of inform how they live? And once, you know, you come to that conclusion and you come to like what they're like in general. I know when I go to the Crane, it's an old industrial building. It's very dark and moody when you go in there. Like they have little spotlights. It's so quiet. You can hear a pin drop. 1010 is quiet, as in you don't hear the outside noise, but like I wouldn't describe our individual residents as being quiet people. There they are. And I also joke that at the Crane and the Rye, like you're almost incognito when you're there. It feels very nice, but quiet. And so when it had like completely different feel, you know, there's a little crossover in like where, you know, our tenants work, but their lifestyles are very different, I would say, in a lot of ways. And so for there, I'd say you have to, you know, so we take that, right? And we know this is what our residents are like. This is what the building feels like. And it's historical. And you take that and you lean into it. You lean into the good things and the interesting things about your property. And that can be with like, you know, the artwork that you have. the artwork that you have, like sort of, you know, it sets, it's the setting and everything. Are you, and then where do you want the property to go? Right? Like, where do you want your property to go? Are you in the suburbs and, you know, there's a bunch of other suburban apartment complexes around you? What do you want your property to be like? What that label is? What is that label? So say it's like, we want our property, we have townhomes, and it's like, you want to own a home, but you don't want to rent and come live here. And then, so you want to focus on making it feel very residential. Like, maybe do you have sidewalks so your residents can walk around and they feel like they're in a neighborhood? Is there ways you can make it feel like a neighborhood, which is, you know, you as staff, you know, being the friendly neighbor and everything, and making sure that they can wave, they feel like they can wave to you. You're not walking down the street with your head down, like, don't look at me. you're being open. And what are your events look like? Do you have a pool? Is it like a pool party? Are you making events that are inclusive for all of the residents that you have living there? Because if you were, you know, some of those more suburban properties, they'll have children and everything because they have multiple bedrooms. Are you doing events that are inclusive for, you know, all people of all ages? Making sure that you're being inclusive, that helps build the community too. Encouraging residents to, I encouraged a resident at our building to start a book club. They're like, I want to do a book club. And I was like, awesome. I'm not going to lead it, but I will help you lead it and I'll advertise for you for it. We have a resident who they have their own business. Do your residents have their own businesses and you can kind of shine the light on them? One of our residents, she, Magic Mirror Wellness, I'll give her a shout out, I guess. Super sweet. She is a meditation instructor. I participated in the meditation. It was wonderful. And so that's now becoming like a regular community event at 1010 on the Rhine. So we're like supporting our resident, you know, people are going to be more familiar with her and she is providing like value and everything to our building. Are there ways that you can do that? How can you include like your residents and everything in the community? So that's kind of what, for that example, I'm sure there's like a million other unique examples, but yeah, I would definitely say where do you want it to go? And then what do you have? Yeah, what do you have to work with? What are the best things? And then what do you want it to be? And then you kind of have to, with those events, like really lean into that and make sure that you are like sticking with it to a T. I don't post something if I don't think it's not, you know, adding to the vibrance and everything. You know, you might look at it and be like, you know, her font's a little different from this last post that she made. I'm definitely still figuring out this is a work in progress. And I think you should think of it as that too. And not be afraid to sort of be bad at what you're doing while you're figuring it out. It takes a lot of patience. I mean, I still have to be patient with myself. I'm learning how I'm doing all of this. I also have other job responsibilities and I'm trying to do this at the same time. And then it also takes time to build a brand. That's how you make it strong. If you look at companies that are around, so be super patient with yourself and don't expect results for like at least over a year. Yeah. Don't expect it to turn around. Because if you like have a property that's not doing so great and you're rebranding it, well, you have to like build trust with your residents too. For that brand, and you're going to have to get everybody on board. So that's going to take a long time.
It does take time to build a brand. And I think that's great advice because you don't want to give up. You have to keep going and slowly build it and slowly change it. But I really appreciated the fact that you talked about how sometimes you see a company either do a slight shift in their branding or how they're positioning things. And it's very superficial, right? There's nothing really behind it that you need to discover what your brand is and how you want to present it. Because if you are at a property and you're promoting it a certain way and then people show up and it obviously is very different than that, that's a disconnect there. And the residents will feel it, right? The prospects will feel it. If you're out in the suburbs and people want it to feel like home, like how do you embrace that idea that this is home versus maybe somebody more in a downtown setting, you know, they would embrace more of that hustle, bustle, lifestyle, right? Where things are busy and active, where in the suburb, that's not what they're looking for, right? They want, oh, this is quiet. And you can have a nice, calm walk at the end of the day with your pet or your kids. And I'd imagine at 1010, you probably don't have a lot of families there, right? It's probably more younger people.
There is actually not a lot of families there. There's a lot, I would say that's probably the only thing that we don't have is a ton of families. Otherwise, like I said, the thing that unites them all is that energy and that like type A personality. Like all of them are very impressive and like hardworking. Like they're all my idols. I would say I'm always like, wow, you're incredible. So I would definitely say that. I think that's a really good point. You have to think about who your residents are. I mean, for us, like we have some events where we, you know, have alcohol and everything. You need to make sure that if you have people who do not drink, that you have things for them and it's still fun for them. And so that's like one way where I'm always very like adamant that this needs to be inclusive. Or your coffee machine. This sounds so silly. Your coffee machine. Do you have sugar? A lot of people can't have sugar anymore. Do you have sugar-free stuff for them? Do you have like dairy-free options? Those are very small ways where you can like start to like make people feel included and like make them feel like you care about them.
Every little detail matters.
Yes. Yeah. Every single choice. Am I being vibrant? You have to, it has to inform everything that you do. I think a lot of like the most interesting like businesses and like marketing campaigns like refer back to like an original mission of like the company. And I think if you sticking to that is super important. That's really what I'm trying to do. And that's what I've noticed has worked really well for other places.
I'm glad you said that last part there because it can seem a little complicated. If you are worried about every decision, right? We just talked about the sugar options at the coffee station. That can feel heavy.
Yeah.
That every little thing can impact your brand. But if you have this guiding light, this idea, this principle, mission, brand identity that you can point everything back to, some of those decisions become a little bit easier because they're kind of already made in advance, right? You've already decided who you are. You're just trying to find ways to highlight it rather than change who you are to meet the trend at the moment.
Yes. And trends are such an interesting thing to talk about because I kind of face that when like deciding what content to do and everything. When I look at other places and like, oh, that's funny. I've seen this 5 times. Like, should I do it too? And I kind of don't. I kind of refrain. Not on principle. Part of it's because I am not fully comfortable like being in the videos myself because I do want them to be about the property and I want them to live on and the brand to live on so it's not centered around me. Like I love 1010, I love Rookwood, but I may not always be a leasing consultant at 1010. So the brand there needs to outlive me.
Absolutely.
It can't be circled around me. And so I try to focus on the building and the community. And so it makes it hard to participate in certain trends. It's also easy to, you know, just participate in the trends. And then it's like, well, who are you? And like, are like, you know, all those people on social media, those aren't your residents. Those properties aren't in Cincinnati. They're in Utah and they're 45 minutes from a city in Utah, Salt Lake City, I guess that's it. And so that they're very different. You have different people, different areas, different aesthetics. Like the aesthetics and everything that are on there. I'm trying to not do so much of an aesthetic, which I think is a bit of a risk, but it's in an effort to be real and to be honest and everything. And like the videos that are posted, I just try to keep the colors in line with, try to keep it simple and the colors in line with what we're doing. I think going towards trends and stuff, it can be really good, right? Because then you can get lots of followers and everything. But you have to also ask yourself, like having a ton of followers, how much value is that bringing to my brand? And like, what am I like giving to them when I, with every post, like what information or what value is it providing? But yeah, it's really easy, I think, to like get caught up in trends and be like, wow.
Well, are you chasing that viral moment where you have all of these viewers or followers, people that see the post, but they're not your target audience. They're never going to rent. They're not going to go down to the coffee shop that you just promoted. Like they're not there for any of that, right? You want to find the right people on social media or any marketing avenue that you're taking.
Yeah. And now I have seen I have seen like a person, and we did have like a couple posts go viral. And one of them was for St. Patrick's Day. We did a pot of gold and it was our fridge, and we stocked it through for full of stuff that you might enjoy on St. Patty's Day. And we, you know, gave credit to the original creator who essentially creates parties in their home. And we just thought what they did was so totally cool. And that did allow us like to do viral. So that was a way we were sort of participating in a trend she had set, but the purpose of was to provide a more vibrant experience and, you know, kind of light up our residents' day. So you can do it in a way. You just have to be sort of, you have to be intentional about it. That was another word we've used a lot today. Maybe not on why we've been talking, but certainly during our tour.
Yeah. Be intentional, right? Be selective and pick the ones that fit your brand, right? Yes. Don't try to be everything to everyone.
Yes. Cause then you're no one.
We don't want that. Well, Lynette, this has been awesome. This is such an important topic because in competitive markets, you are trying to stand out. You want your property to stand out. You want to find the right residents that create this momentum of creating this identity in this community where things are vibrant, and people are connected. They feel like it's the place where they belong. So they stay, right? Retention is important. They recommend, they refer. All of those things are important. So if our audience is listening to this and they're like, this all sounds really great, but I actually want to see what this looks like, what's the best way that they can maybe learn more about Rookwood Properties, or maybe even more specific, what you're doing at 1010, a website, maybe that Instagram account, things like that?
Yeah. So the Instagram is at 1010 on the Rhine. Very simple, easy to find. And then our Rookwood has a really cool website. It's just rookwoodproperties.com. Kept it really simple. Our market, the head of all marketing, Annie Cantor, she's phenomenal. And she also lives the vibrant, you know, super sweet. And just being around her makes you feel like at home. But I would definitely recommend there. I'm trying to focus on like one area where I'm like making the content and stuff until I am good enough and fast enough to upload more consistently. But I would definitely start there. But also, you know, you can start there, maybe see some of the places around and go explore Cincinnati. Cincinnati has a lot to offer. I always say she is the Queen City, and a lot of the gems in her crown are hidden, but they are there. So go find them.
That is a great tagline.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, we'll drop some links into the show notes so people can find the Instagram and the website and so forth. I have one question left for you.
Yes.
So you talked about giving recommendations of where to go have dinner. I have to ask, like, what would you recommend for someone that's looking for a date night or someone to grab dinner in close relation to 1010?
So I probably am going to sound annoying, but I always be like, well, what do you like to eat or what are you in the mood for? That's usually how I start. If I'm just going off like my favorite places, it'd be Sudova. I've been there like 3 times. I don't usually repeat restaurants, but I really recommend it. It is Eastern European style food. If anyone remembers going to a vodka bar that sold pierogies out of the window in OTR and off of Main Street, it's them. They closed that location and then they opened up a restaurant, and it's excellent. Everything I've had has been really good. So I do recommend that. It also kind of has a more romantic feel. If you're wanting a quick bite and you just want like some tacos and you want it, you know, it's very vibrant in here. It's Pata Roja. It's right outside the building. I go there once a week. So they also have a rewards program, and I've gotten free tacos a lot.
Oh, there you go. See, everyone loves a good rewards program. Yes. Well, so if anyone's in Cincinnati or if you visit Cincinnati, Sudova is the recommendation there for some Eastern Europeans. So that's super exciting. I've not heard of that restaurant. I've not tried it. So I'll definitely have to put that on my must try list now.
Yes, it's definitely your favorite. If we're doing coffee shops, since we talked about coffee, 1215 and Black Coffee Lounge, those are like my two favorite spots that I go to all the time. So, and it's funny, I go in there and I tell residents to go there, and then I go there and then I'm waving at them.
Well, it's real life, right? You said you go there, so you really do go there.
Yeah. Try to live like the vibrant in the community as much as possible when you're working down there, because my residents are everywhere in Cincinnati. I can't go for a run without seeing one of them.
That's great. Well, that's perfect. Well, you've given me some new places to try, and anyone in Cincinnati some more places to try. But even more important, you've given us a lot of really good insight into this idea of community identity, really building a brand at a property so everything fits and everyone feels connected. So, Lynette, thank you so much for joining me today.
No, thank you for having me. First time on a podcast, and it's been very wonderful and easy to do with you. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, that you've been a wonderful guest. We really appreciate it. And we really appreciate you for listening to another episode. And until next time, keep going beyond rent.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Beyond Rent. If you enjoyed this podcast, spread the word on social media and with your peers in the industry. To be notified when more episodes are released, subscribe using your favorite podcast player. Beyond Rent is brought to you by Rent Manager Property Management Software. Learn more about Rent Manager's industry-leading software solutions at rentmanager.com. Until next time, keep going beyond rent.